love the Bible. I love what it says. I love how it talks. I love the wisdom that it imparts. I love everything about it. And anyway, Acts chapter 23. Turn your Bible there. Couple things here. The warfare that goes on. The Bible, if you'll pay attention, listen to it. The Bible will reveal things to you that's going on around you. Amen. Okay? Things that we can't... It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? It is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. That's what you say, well, that's what faith is. Well, faith comes from the Bible. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so anyway, the Bible will reveal to us, if we'll read it, if we'll listen to it, if we'll pay attention to it, we'll get some understanding from it, it'll show us what's going on around us. I've never seen a spirit, a devil, a haint, they call them down in the sticks, haints, haunt. Never seen a ghost. Never saw a 300-foot tall Jesus like Oral Roberts said he saw. Did I ever tell you the Oral Roberts story, Jim? Did I ever tell you that one? You know who he is, don't you? One of these old televangelists. I think he's dead now. Okay? But he pretty much started this whole televangelism deal. And he said he saw a 300-foot tall Jesus, told him to build a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because God was going to heal everybody. It's now an office complex. Didn't quite work out. But anyway, he built this big university, Oral Roberts University, built this big campus, big old thing there. And in the front of it, if you pull up, and I've been there and I've seen it, they've got these great big, I mean humongous, giant, they call them praying hands, but it's just two big bronze statue hands that are kind of put together like this. And he said that God showed him how to do all this, and so he had it built. And the people was working on it, and they had it sculpted and cast or whatever it is, and had it was setting it up. And they had the engineers there, and they had the construction company that was putting it all together. And you know, had it all detailed out on the blueprints about how it was going to go and how it was going to fit, and this is going to fit here, and this. And they was working on it, and they was trying to get them to close. And they couldn't get the hands to close together. And they had engineers and guys, you know, with slide rules and blueprints, and they were scratching their head and writing down figures and everything, trying to figure out how to get this thing. It looked good on paper, just you know how it works. You know, it looks good on paper, but it just doesn't come out right. And this one old boy, I mean, he was just a worker that, but he kind of understood a little bit about what he was doing, what was going on. He said, if you guys will let me, I've got a solution for this. And they said, what's your solution? They said, get me up on that crane. So they got him up on the crane, and they had him suspended over the top of those hands like that. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a dollar bill, and they went like that. That's how they got him shut. You didn't see that coming, did you? Why did I get started on that? I don't know. Wasting valuable time. But the Bible will reveal things to you. I've never seen spirits, but the Bible, they're real. And they're around us. And there are good ones and there are bad ones. The Bible tells you. We have angels, I believe, that minister to us. Okay, that's their job, it's their role. Read Psalm chapter 91, and you'll see that. But anyway, we also have spirits that are against us. And there's a battle going on, and I'll tell you just how serious these spirits are. I mean, they're very, very, very serious. But then we have a Savior. And so I want us to pick it up in Acts chapter 23. I want to do a little bit of reading first, and then we kind of get into the lesson. Acts chapter 23, verse 1, and Paul earnestly beholding the captain. We read that already last week. I want to move down a little bit. I want to kind of hurry on here. I want to go to verse 10. of Acts chapter 23. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. The night following, and I want you to underline this in your Bible. This is, if you have a red letter Bible, this will stand out in the chapter. Okay? And you just kind of underline this. This is really good. And the night following, the Lord did what? Stood by him. The Lord stood by him. God, Jesus told us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll not ever be away from you. God did not send the disciples out and say, go on out there. Let me know how it turns out for you when you get back. That's not what he did. Every place the disciples went, Jesus went with them. If Paul went one place, Jesus went with Paul. If Peter went another place, Jesus went with Peter. If Barnabas and Mark went someplace, Jesus went with them too. That's the greatness about our God, is that we believe in His omnipresence. It's the term we use for it. God is everywhere. There's not any place that God is not. Does the Bible teach that? Yes. David said, if I ascend up into the heavens, you're there. If I descend down into the lowest hell, you're there. Okay? And I believe that. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that God, there's not any place that God is not. You will never run away from God. Amen. You'll never be able to. Jonah, I don't know what he was thinking, but he was thinking that he could just run away from God and that'd be it. But you'll never run away from God. And I've taught this before. When you come to church and the preacher is preaching and the Holy Ghost is just dealing with your heart and you get under conviction, we kind of tend to think, well, if I just make it through the invitation, or if I just make it through the church service, I'll be okay. And we just don't forget that when we leave here, Jesus is out in the parking lot. He's in your car. He's on the way home with you. He's in your home. He's every place that you are. And I guarantee you, He is. If He loves you, He's not going to leave you alone. Amen? Amen. If God loves you, He's not going to leave you alone, and He will be everywhere that you are. But I just wanted to throw this in here, that the Lord stood by him. And I like just the words of the Bible and just the picture that they draw for us. And here's the Lord standing. And all through the New Testament, in fact, all through the Bible, you can see how the difference between those that stand and those that fall. In the plain of Dura, when Nebuchadnezzar set up that image and told everybody to worship, when he told them to worship, he told them he wanted them to fall down before that image. And it's, you know what they say, well, you're not supposed to judge everybody. People that are really deep in sin, they don't want you saying anything to them about their sin, so they say, don't judge me. But I'm going to tell you something. It becomes obvious, and it should be obvious after a while, to know who is right with God and who is not right with God. Let me hear you say amen. So there's a 60 cubit tall statue standing out there, and music playing, praise and worship bands up there playing, and everybody is falling down before the image except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how easy is it for us, if we were looking out across that scene, how easy is it for us and everybody else to know who's on God's side and who's not on God's side? It's them that are standing. Amen? Them that are standing. And just kind of put that in the context of what is happening today. What will happen? There is a falling away that's going to take place, and the man of sin is going to be revealed. And that's, you can see that pictorialized all through the Bible if you know what to look for. But anyway, here's Jesus, and Jesus has not fallen. He doesn't need to be carried over here like the false gods of the Old Testament. He is the Lord God, and He is standing next to Paul. You could put it this way. If you take a stand for God, God will take a stand for you. Amen? And Paul did. Paul did. Paul did not run away from when he was told not to go to Jerusalem. Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, it's going to be messed up for you now. Don't go down there. Paul said, you know what? I'm going down there. They need to hear the gospel like everybody else does. And if they don't listen, too bad. And if I get killed down there, that's just too bad too. But I'm going. And Paul did not back down from anybody. He did not back down because of fear. He did not back down from anything. And he stood for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stood for the grace of God, and he stood for the gospel and the testimony of God, and he stood against work salvation, he stood against this and that and the other, and he stood for the Lord. And now in his time, you know, he's in a castle, probably in a dungeon somewhere, probably just in a not a very nice, comfortable place. And the Lord is letting him know that he is with him and he is standing with him. And I want you to just think about this in your mind, just kind of as I talk a little bit. Think about, maybe it's today. Maybe it's today that you just kind of feel like you're just being imprisoned. Maybe you just kind of, there's chains about you, or you're in a dark place. And I want you to think about that. And I'm going to tell you that when you are in that place, Jesus is standing there with you, if you will stand for Him. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He will be with you. He will help you. And watch this. And here, look at what Jesus said. And I want you to notice, Jesus is just full of encouragement here. And I believe in biblical encouragement. I really do. I believe in biblical encouragement. I have yet to go to a ball game of any kind. And I like going to ball games. I like going to high school ball games and this. I mean, I like to go to them. I have yet to go to a ball game and sit there with my hands in my pockets as the team that I want to win shoots a basket, makes a score or whatever, and me go, interesting. I have yet to do that. When I go and watch a team, I'm rooting for that team. I'm clapping. I've got a whistle. God gave me a whistle. I'm not going to do it in here. Okay? Because we have sensitive sound equipment. Some of you are going, yeah, hang on a second. I have a whistle. God taught me how to whistle. I won't say God taught me how to whistle. I learned how to whistle when I was, well, like this, when I was about 13 years old, because there was a girl down the road that could whistle like that too. Okay? So I'm going to be honest. Okay? But I learned how to whistle. Okay? And I can put my two fingers in my mouth and I can blow this horn here, and I want to tell you what, it's deafening. And when I go to a sporting event, I blow my horn. I whistle. I holler. I cheer. Okay? Woo! Okay? I get mad at the ref. Just like everybody else does. I we'll do that for teams that we want to win. Okay? Well, Christ will do that for us. He will give us encouragement. He will root us on. He will tell us, I'm with you. I've not left you. Keep on. We got a lot to go. We got work to do. Let's go. So look what he says. And notice he's cheering him. Look at what he said. Look at what Jesus said. He's cheering him on. Jesus said, be of good cheer. That means cheer up. Okay? Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed or anything like that. And I'll tell you, depression sometimes, I think sometimes there is spiritual depression. In fact, I believe that. And I encountered that, spiritual depression, spiritual oppression, on our way to Kenya, just getting to Kenya. I mean, I'm depressed. I'm sitting in these airports and we're just stranded and I'm depressed. And I'm feeding my depression with Krispy Kreme donuts. Yeah. I mean, it helped a little bit, but it didn't fix our problem. Amen. We were still stuck. And the Lord, and then when we got to Kenya, and here I'm in a strange place, strange sound, strange aroma, strange everything there. I'm laying there in that bed and I got to get up and go to one of the worst places in the entire world to go preach the gospel. Is the slums of Kibera, and I'm laying there in that bed, and the devil is going, you don't belong here, you need to get out of here, you need to leave, you're going to die in this place, you're never going to make it back home if you don't leave tonight. That's what I was hearing, Jim. I ain't kidding you. And it had me to near state of panic. I almost jumped out of bed and grabbed Lisa and said, Lisa, we got to get out of here. I almost did that. Okay? I'm dead serious about this. We can get into depression. There are spirits that are doing this, and I'll show you this a little bit later on in this chapter. We can get in because of the state of events or just the place of life we're in or whatever. There are different types of depression. different types of, let's say, discouragement or whatever. I believe in spiritual depression. I believe that we can be sad and melancholy just because. I'll be honest with you. I think sunlight has a lot to do with it too. I mean, when this time of year, when it's dark and cloudy for days on end, it takes its toll on how we think and how we react. Okay? God designed it that way. This is not some new age psych. God designed us to thrive in sunlight. God designed us that way. But anyway, and I also believe that there are the human body, there are chemical things that go wrong. I mean, this body is not as good as what we think it is. And our brain is part of that body structure, and things go wrong every now and then. I believe that. But anyway, here Paul is, and the Bible doesn't really say he's depressed. But I mean, look at the situation he's in. He's been arrested. His own people, he's been smitten. He's been smitten now in front of the high priest of the people that he would have given his life for. They not only have arrested him and are mocking him, they hit him. That's just rude. Amen? And it's not that they went and punched him in the stomach. They went up there, and you know, there's nothing ruder than for someone to just walk up and slap you right in the face. That's rude. Amen? That don't kill you. It doesn't really damage you. It's meant to be a put down. It is meant to be a put down. And so Paul's sitting in prison, and I'm sure he's not the most jolly of moods right now, but here's Jesus who understands that. And he goes to stand by him. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You know what Jesus just told him? You're going to live through this. You're going to live through this and make it all the way to Rome. Now, he didn't say anything beyond that. But he's telling him, Paul, you are going to live through this. And you've testified of me in Jerusalem. And I'm going to send you to Rome to do the same thing. Be of good cheer. And so Paul knows it's not over. He knows it's not over. Let me jump back to going to Nairobi. The spiritual depression I was under worsened in the car driving through the slums. I'm sitting there and I'm just going, oh. Wishing I had my gun. Okay? I mean, I didn't know. And when we finally got to the church, and I stepped in the church, every bit of that changed. Because Jesus was there.
Amen. Praise God.
Jesus was there. And I thought, man, I like being here. Okay? I really do. And then I started having a little fun, you know, started kind of opening it up a little bit and having a little fun. But anyway, things like that happen. And in this case here, you can bet it's spiritual depression or spiritual oppression. Let me get to where I'm going with this. Verse 12, and it was day, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. These guys turned out to be very skinny people.
Yeah.
Okay? They turned out they lost a lot of weight. Okay? Verse 13. And I want you to look at this now. And there were more than 40 which had made this what?
Conspiracy.
Preachers don't like to use this word. It's in the Bible. It's a very interesting word. It's a very telling word. I remember when God really started showing me biblical conspiracies. And there are biblical conspiracies. They're real. They're genuine. You need to understand how the spiritual world works. Let me just kind of go off the path just a little bit so I can explain this to you. Every year or every other year or something like that. Have you ever heard of the word Bilderberg? You ever heard of that word before? Bilderberg. Okay? Started out years ago, there's a hotel, I think it's in, I don't know, Denmark or Norway or something like that, called the Bilderberg Hotel. And this one prince invited in these people, they were heads of government, you know, secretaries of state, ministers of this, and bankers and businessmen, invited them in. And had just kind of had a meeting with them and nobody really knows what's going on inside that meeting. Closed door meeting. Well, over the years, it's kind of grown. And every year, it's, and for a while, nobody really had heard about it. But now it kind of makes a little bit of news every year. And it's, you know, pop up every now and then. If, you know, during a certain time of the year, you see that the president's gone. And if you know they're having a meeting there at the Bilderberg, that could be where he is. But that's not really reported very well. And so they bring in heads of state. They bring in the heads of the banking and the pharmaceutical and medical and technology. They'll bring in people who write news stories and do newscasts. And they bring them all in, and they're sworn to secrecy. They don't tell what's going on inside the meeting. They don't tell what's being said in there. Okay? And there's been people say, well, you know, so-and-so was at the Bilderberg meeting, I've got somebody on the inside that's telling me what's going on. I don't know that I can trust that. But what I can do is I can look in here and study the Bible and understand the wicked nature of man and understand that there is a conspiracy going on. And through the pages of the Scripture, I can just about tell you what's going on inside that meeting. Okay? Because they didn't invite me to read Scripture and have prayer over them. Okay? So I know something ain't right in that meeting. I know something's not right, Jim. Okay? And so anyway, there are things that are happening around us, secret things that we're not supposed to know about, that are going on, that will affect, let's say, just our daily lives. So they'll affect our future. They'll affect the future of humanity or mankind or the world or whatever. There is a conspiracy here. These men had banded together. Now, these guys didn't make it known to Paul, but they kind of banded together. And they had a conspiracy, and they put themselves under a curse, under an oath. This is why you ought to be careful what you swear to.
Amen.
You ought to be real careful what you swear an oath to. Okay? But anyway, they bound themselves under a curse, and they would not eat. They would not eat or drink until they had killed Paul. You know, really, that's kind of foolish. They put themselves on a limited schedule because they got about three. If they're not going to drink, they got about 3 days. Okay, they got about 3 days to kill him. If they just said we won't eat, they've got about 40. Okay, 40 or 50 or something like that, 30 or 40. It would have been interesting. Said if they wasn't going to breathe until they killed Paul. They got about 3 minutes. Okay, but they bound themselves under an oath. Now, don't you know the Bible just kind of goes out of its way to tell you how many people were at this meeting and part of this conspiracy. Bible tells you there was 40 of them. Now, I study these numbers. And people say, well, that doesn't really mean anything. I disagree. I think they do. I think this is the way that God is showing us what is happening in areas that we cannot see. Okay? If you'll just follow the trail. So I want to show you this. Let's think about, okay, let's say that there was 40 men, because I believe the Bible. Let's say there was 40 men who had met together, put themselves under a curse, said they're not going to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Why was that? Okay? Because who in here likes some other baseball team than the Cardinals? Anybody? Who in here likes some other football team than the Rams? Okay? Okay? Which favorite football team? A what?
Wrestler.
A wrestler. Okay. What? Who raised? Huh? Pittsburgh. Okay. I'm a Rams fan, and Pittsburgh comes in going to play the Rams. Okay. Did you know that I'm not prone to want to kill you because you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? Okay. I'm not prone to want to kill you because you're rooting for some other team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Like I say, I go to like high school sports. I don't really necessarily want to kill the other players, the other rooters, the other cheerers. I don't want to kill them just because they're rooting for their boys. I'm tell you where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal, and there are not spirits. There are not spirits who are supporting this team or that team. In this case here, all that Paul did was say certain things. That's all he did. But what he said was not only dangerous to earthly institutions, it was dangerous to spiritual ones. Very dangerous. Because the only power that humans have over spirits is in what we believe and what we say. That's the only power that we have over them. What we believe. Okay? And what we preach. And so here's Paul, and he's preaching free grace. There are spirits who hate the blood.
Amen.
They hate the Bible.
Yes.
They hate free grace.
Yes.
They hate these things. They hate them. And they want everybody that is supporting the blood, the Bible, and free grace, they want them dead. They want you dead. If you stand for what you say you stand for. They want you dead. They want you, if they can't kill you, then they will try to harm you. They'll try to harm you physically. They will try to harm you spiritually. They will try to harm you emotionally. They will try to divide your house. They will try to tear you. They'll like what the soldiers here were worried about. They were worried they were going to pull Paul in pieces. They will try to pull you in pieces. They will try to divide you against yourself. They'll try to divide your household against itself. They will try everything in the world. Why? Because of what you believe and what you stand for. That's what they'll do. They don't like those things, so they'll try to have you killed. And if they can't have, like I say, if they can't have you killed, then they'll get you to slowly but surely join their side. So that you look like a decent guy, look like a decent preacher, look like a decent church, but you're not preaching free grace and you're not preaching blood atonement, you're not preaching the substitutionary death, you're not preaching the second coming, you're not preaching the word that the Bible is inerrant word of God, you're not preaching those things, so they're going to leave you alone now. They will leave you alone. In fact, they'll make you rich. They will help you for a while, is what they'll do. But here, Paul just took a stand. And they don't like it. And these are spirits here. Why? Because I want to show you why. There's 40 of them. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Some of you know this, some of you don't. So I just like to teach simple things here. To those of you who know this, praise the Lord. To those of you who don't, well, you're fixing to learn something. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? Stand. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Who in here knows what wiles means? Who remembers the Roadrunner?
Yeah.
What? The coyote's name was Wile E. Coyote. Wily means sneaky, like a snake. Okay? The wiles of the devil. A devil will lay low to the ground and slither in without, and he doesn't have footsteps to hear. Okay? A snake does not have 1,000 little feet with boots on them, and you hear them going. You never hear a snake. Okay? I'm gonna run through this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And Paul understood that. He understood the spiritual nature of what was going on. He knew that there was men involved. And that is how conspiracy works. They will involve men. Okay? They will seduce men. But the conspiracy against you is a spiritual conspiracy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Four things here. And this number four always shows you and bears about what's going on in the spiritual realm. So when as I'm reading the book of Acts and I see that there are 40 men bound in a conspiracy to kill Paul, I understand that even this 40 men are only indicative of spiritual forces that hate Paul. They hate him. I mean, stop and think about when Paul had the encounter with those who were crafting idols to Diana. Stop and think about that. They were in it for the money. Sure they were. Okay? But there was a spirit that was provoking them to want to kill Paul. And it was Diana. It was Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. It was the spirit that wants men to worship idols and images and statues rather than worshiping the unseen God but by the Scriptures. She does, that spirit, that harlot spirit, does not want you worshiping God the Father. She wants you worshiping a statue. So she was the one behind this. And so here we have principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? This is why on some days the devil absolutely will not leave you alone. Amen? You wake up in the morning and say, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to live for you. God, I don't want to sin. God, I want to just keep my head straight. And I want to just walk towards Zion. And the devil's going, we'll see. And don't be surprised if throughout the day you encounter principalities and powers. You run up against forces that you cannot control. Spiritual wickedness in high places. You find that you're just not as powerful against sin as you thought you were. And they're provoking you. They're attacking you. They're going after you because they are bound under a curse. And by the way, every one of these devils is cursed. Amen? They're going to be cast into the lake of fire one of these days. And that they are bound under a curse to see you destroyed. They want to destroy me, not because of my good looks, not because I can make DVDs, but they want to destroy me because I believe in this Bible. And then I tell people that they can believe in this Bible. And it's free. That's why they want you killed. And you believe in the blood, and they don't like blood. They don't like the blood of the innocent Christ. They cannot handle that. And you believe in grace, and you believe in freedom, and you believe in liberty, and you believe in these things, and you stand for them. And they'll say, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out at the end of the day. Okay? And so anyway, this thing that's working against Paul, these 40 men may have died, but the spirits behind them live on. And they will try to destroy and tear up everything that they can, starting with you. And then they'll go after your family, and then they go after your kids, and then go after your church, and they go, they've already got most of the country. Amen? That's what's behind it all. That's what's going on behind the scenes. So we don't need the secret documents from some meeting somewhere. We have our vision right here in the Scriptures, and we can see supernaturally, which means we can see above the natural realm. We can see into the spiritual realm by doing what? By reading this Bible and getting understanding that there is a conspiracy. There are devils that want to destroy you and destroy your testimony. I mean, stop and think about it. If they could have succeeded in getting Paul drunk, they would have had it. That would have been it right there. Had they succeeded in bringing in a woman to Paul, okay, some old slutty gal that was easy. Had they succeeded in having Paul caught with a strange woman, they would have had him. But Paul was not given to wine. He was kind of a special guy. He was not even married. Didn't need to be. Okay, he just didn't have that in him, and he talked about that. So he didn't lead about a wife. Didn't have that. And so women were around him all the time. Didn't faze him. The devils knew that they couldn't get him to compromise. They couldn't get him drunk. They couldn't get him caught with a woman. They couldn't get anything else on him. So they said, you know what? Our only choice here is to kill him. And they bound themselves to an oath to have him killed. Okay? These poor 40 guys. Skinny guys. Okay? Very sickly guys after about 3 days. Because it didn't work. Amen. You know why? Jesus stood by him and promised him. Amen. He spoke for me in Jerusalem. I'm going to have you stand for me in Rome. Okay? He stood with him. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Lord, show us, dear God, what's going on around us. We can't see spirits. We can't see devils. We definitely don't want to be in communication with them. But Father, Lord, you open our eyes to the pages of this book, God, and you help us to see visions clearly. through this book. God, you show us openly, Lord, what the spiritual realm and what's going on around us. And we thank you for that, dear God. Lord, help it to lighten our eyes. And Lord, give us understanding in what is going on with us, dear God. What's happening? Lord, Father, sometimes, Lord, if we could just understand, Lord, what's happening, it does make it better. And we thank you for that. Lord, Father, help us to stand because you stand with us. Help us to stand with you and for you, dear God, at all costs, dear God, no matter what. Lord, there are days when we need encouragement. There are days, dear God, when we need to be cheered up. We just ask you, dear God, Lord, that through your words, Lord, that you would accomplish that in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for standing with us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. How many of you are thankful for Jesus Christ? Say amen. Amen. Thankful for the blood atonement. Amen? Amen. A gift was given to you. That gift was by God. You know, I talk about this a lot. The Bible definition of love. And everybody says, what is love? And the people don't know what love is. And I believe if you just read the Bible, you'll get it. And it's very, very simple. It's profoundly simple. As is most things in the Bible. The definition of love is giving. Let me give you a verse. For God so loved the world that he took from the world? No. He gave his only begotten Son. Now I want you to think about the words there. His only. Okay? Now, if I got all these Starbucks cards, which I asked for them. Okay? And so if my wife and I are about, and she doesn't really like Starbucks coffee a lot, but she tried something the other day, she kind of likes it, some kind of chocolate thing. And so if she's out and about, and I have exactly enough money on my Starbucks card to buy her something, and me not get anything, I would let her have my Starbucks card. That's giving, right? It's giving all that you have. And it wasn't like God had a bunch of sons the way the Mormon church teaches. He had one only begotten Son. Amen. His name was Jesus Christ. Yeah. It wasn't like he could just pick somebody and say, yeah, you'll do. And send him down here. That's not a whole lot of love, is it?
No.
Okay? So if I have, and I'll tell you, I got a lot of Christmas candy too. And when you come in my office, there will be Christmas candy on my desk. Okay? And I will give that to you because I have a lot of it to give. And I don't mind that. Okay? But if Jim goes out and buys me another bag of Boston baked beans, which I really like these. Okay? And they're very scarce. And you come in and Caleb comes in, Dad, can I have some Boston baked beans? No. No. No, you're not getting that. Okay, I mean, that's how we are. Okay, but God gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because he so loved the world. That means God so loved families. God so loved people. And he loved little children. And he loved adults. And he loved old people. And he loved good people. And he loved really, really, really bad people. God loved them all. Can I hear you say amen? That's what love is. And that's what God has done for us. And I don't have a problem in the world taking one day out of the year and contemplating and thinking and preaching on that one thing. I don't have a problem with that. And that's why we're here today. Can I hear you say amen? Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the story, the nativity story, the birth of Jesus Christ. And there's something in here. I'll tell you what, I thought I had a message, and then God gave me another one this week. And I want to tell you, it was just a joy to put it together. And I hope it's a blessing to you. I don't want to try to preach. I got 3 pages of notes to preach real fast. Okay? Then we have a wedding. And by the way, I got to read this too. We had a family that sent. They sent. It's like the 12 days of Christmas. Because I got something in the mail every day from them. And we got cakes and candies and all kinds of goodies from them. And she said, if you sent me an email, and she said, if you remember, please give a personal shout out to my husband, Paul. He hasn't been feeling well either. And so, Paul, we hope you start feeling better. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
I didn't want to forget that. All right. Anyway, Luke chapter 2. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. See, if you don't believe the Bible, none of this is going to mean anything to you. If you don't believe the Bible, none of this is going to mean anything to you. You think it's about Santa Claus and Black Friday and the stores opening once again early in the morning so you can take back all that junk that you didn't want to begin with and maybe find some bargains. And if that's all this is to you, I feel sorry for you. Because I have a Savior that I can celebrate every day of the year, twice a day if I want to. Amen? I can worship Him at all times, the Bible says. And I've got something that will last a whole lot longer than anything that Walmart, Kmart, Target, or Sam's Wholesale Club can give you, or Starbucks. Amen? The problem with Starbucks gift cards is that I'll run out of it before too long. And see, it's one of those habits that I have. I don't mind it as long as you're paying for it. Okay? But I don't know, $2.50 for a cup of coffee is hard for me to let go of. Amen? But anyway, I appreciate it. Anyway, Luke chapter 2, you believe the Bible, say amen. Amen. Tell you what let's do. Let's stand. I don't do this very often. Some churches do it every time they read the Bible. But if we were to do that, and when I preach, every time we read the Bible, we'd be standing the whole sermon. Because I just like to preach the Bible, and that's what I'm going to do. I got 3 pages of Bible scriptures here for you. I want to try to move through this real fast. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. You know what the NIV says there? She brought forth a son.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. Amen. He's the firstborn. Amen. Firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country, and you pay attention to this now, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. I want you to notice the angel's giving them the sign. Giving them the sign to what to look for. Okay? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. I want you to look at this now, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Somebody say amen. He's made it known unto you what's going on, so you don't have to ask questions. Verse 16, And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I want you to think about that. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand in reverence to the written Word of God. Father, Lord, we think this Bible is everything. Lord, we think that in this Bible is the answers, Lord, to life and to everything that we have, Lord, going on in our lives. Father, Lord, we just believe, dear God, that this is the very Word of God. We believe it, dear God, and we live by it. And Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that You would use it today for Your glory and Your honor among Your people. We thank You, dear God, Lord, that we have the visible presence of Jesus Christ in our midst today because of these Bibles that we have. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that You'd bless this message and bless these people today. And Lord, dear God, we do thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ who died on a cross, Lord, for and suffered and was shamed, dear God, and reproached, dear God, because of our transgressions. Father, Lord, it was our fault, Lord, that He died on a cross. And Father, we just thank You, dear God, that You've done that for us. We thank You, Lord, that You love us that way. Help us to love You and help us to love one another, dear God. And Lord, Father, help us, dear God, to bear about, dear God, not only the reproach, but the glory of Jesus Christ on this day. Thank you, dear God, for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've kind of taught this before. In fact, I have a video on it, but I want to preach in a little bit different way. And just something that God has laid on my heart this morning. When I talk about the nativity, when I talk about Jesus Christ coming into the world, I like to talk about this as His first coming. And you're looking at an old preacher that believes He's coming again. Somebody say amen. He's going to come down one of these days. He's going to put down all the earthly institutions. And I believe the Bible that He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And that we which are with Him are going to reign with Him for 1,000 years over this world. That's not something I brag about. That's something that humbles me to think that I could be with Jesus on that day. Somebody say amen. So I believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, both His first coming, and I preach His first coming, and I believe in His second coming, and I believe that we could see that in our lifetime. Amen. I'm talking about the visible, glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming down from heaven. I believe that we could see that in our lifetime. But I'm going to tell you what also I believe. I also believe that we can see His coming every day of our lives. We can say, in fact, I don't know about you, but I just like it when I wake up in the morning and I know that Jesus is standing there by the bedside waiting for me to get up in the morning. Somebody say amen. I just like that. I like it when Jesus comes to a person like me, deals with my heart through the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures. I like that. I like it when Jesus comes to someone who's an old rat bag, dirty, filthy, nasty sinner that needs to be saved by the grace of God. I like it when Jesus shows up on the scene and saves that man. Somebody say amen. Jesus showed up and saved my daddy, saved my mama, saved me, saved you. Jesus showed up. Jesus came and showed you the way of life. Somebody say amen. Now I'm going to show you how that happened. Okay? And I want you to, it's okay that if you like this, it's okay for you to say something real loud like, amen. It's okay for us Baptists to shout every now and then. Amen. I don't mean we have swing off the chandeliers and do flip-flops up on stage. But I think it's okay for us to get happy every now and then. Somebody say amen. Okay? I hope. Now, I've been excited about this message all the way. I hope you get about half as excited about this as I do. Because I like how God worked this out of my mind. I just like how this happened. With Jesus, by the way, I believe in two Jesuses. I believe in a real one, and I believe in another one. The Antichrist. Okay? Now, I don't know exactly how all this is going to work out, but the Bible reveals to us the difference between the real God and the fake God. How many of you know that? Say amen. By the way, just because they're bowing down to an image that was supposed to look like Jesus, that doesn't mean it's Jesus. Amen? The Bible tells us the difference between the real one and fake one. So let me tell you the sign. The sign of the real Savior. Remember, the angels told the shepherds, this shall be a sign unto you, and told them what to look for. And I believe we ought to pay attention to that so that we know what to look for. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. Matthew, I'm going to read some verses real fast. Okay? I wish I was an auctioneer and I could just preach real fast like an auctioneer does. Okay? Matthew 24, verse 30. Then shall appear the sign. Notice the word sign. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So right here He's telling us He's going to come in the clouds. Matthew 26, 64. Jesus said unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Mark chapter 13, verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Mark chapter 14, verse 62. And Jesus said, I am. I like that. I like that. I am. Amen. Amen. You know, here's reason 4,985 that I don't like the NIV. Okay? You go back in the Old Testament, in your King James Bible, and see how God introduced Himself to Moses. He said, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. You know what the NIV says there? I am what I am. Whew. Yeah, it sounds like Popeye, doesn't it? I am what I am. That's reason 4,962 why I hate the NIV Bible. Amen? Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. when Jesus arose, listen to this, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So the Bible says that he went up in a cloud. How is he going to come back down? He's going to come down in the cloud. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh in with clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Then we get into Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I want you to listen to this now. The Bible is describing a mighty angel, but I want you to listen to how this angel is described. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. I think it is. I think it is. And a rainbow was upon his head. Read Ezekiel chapter 1. Because Ezekiel saw the throne of God, and he said, "I saw a bow as it was in the cloud in the day of rain," and that was the glory of God. Amen. It was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun. Read Matthew chapter 17. And his feet as pillars of fire. Verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. Amen? He had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, listen to this, as when a lion roareth. That ain't the devil. Amen? That's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's come down, he's put his feet on the sea, he's put his feet on the land. You know what that means? It's mine. It's mine, I've got it. By the way, I've got the authority to own it because here's the authority book right here. I've got it in my hand. I'm clothed with the cloud. I've got the glory of God, my Father, on me. And I believe that's Jesus coming down in the clouds. But I want you to notice that the visible sign of Jesus Christ was always the clouds. He's clouds. And in here in Revelation, it says he's clothed in the clouds. And one day I was studying this out, and I got to thinking about this. And I want to tell you what. At one point, when God kind of put me on this King James thing, that some people out there are hoping I get over one of these days, which I never will. Okay, but I got on this, you know, I was just still kind of, you know, Lord, you know, I've heard, you know, other people say, well, you know, this and that. And God said, "Am I going to show you something?" So I started just studying the words of the Bible, and I came across this word. You got your Bible there, Luke chapter 2, look at verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I just wanted to know, God, why did you say that? What is this swaddling? You know, I don't go around using words like this in my house. Honey, would you go get my swaddling clothes, please? Okay? I guarantee you, my wife don't swaddle me with clothes. Amen, okay? But I didn't really, you know what it meant, but I just kind of looked it up in the dictionary and this and that. And I'm going, Lord, what does it mean when he was wrapped in the swaddling clothes? Now remember, Revelation 10, he's clothed with the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. The shepherds were told by the angels in verse 12, "This shall be the sign unto you, a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Well, every place we saw where Jesus was coming, it was talking about you shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds, in the clouds, in the clouds. And when I finally just said, "Lord, I'm just going to read the Bible and see what this says." And I was looking for the word swaddling in the King James Bible. And I found it. So I want you to get this. Now Mary, this is the first coming of Christ. And the angel said, "Here's the sign right here." Okay? And he's coming in the clouds. And I believe the first coming of Christ is a picture of the second coming. So that we won't mess up and pick the wrong Jesus. Amen? I don't want to mess up and pick the wrong Jesus. So don't you take a Bible, turn to Job chapter 38. Hurry, hurry, hurry. We got weddings to do. Amen? Amen. Okay? I want you to hurry now. Job chapter 38. This is the beauty of the language of the King James Bible. You don't change one word. You don't change one letter. Amen, Brady? Brady, get up. He preached a wonderful message here a while back. He said that Jehovah's Witness, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. That's what the Jehovah's Witness say. That's all they did was add one little letter to the Bible. That's all they did. By the way, that's all they had to do to defile Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all they had to do to defile Jesus Christ was add one letter to the Bible. We don't have a right to do that. So if the Bible just says it, you just believe what the Bible says. Can I hear you say amen? So anyway, watch this. Job chapter 38, verse 8. Look at here. Here's God talking to Job. You know what he says? He said, "Who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as it had issued out of a womb?" Now I want you to think about Mary. Mary is about ready. She didn't lay an egg and hatch Jesus. Amen? She didn't chop down a tree and find him hidden inside. Mary gave birth to Jesus and waters issued forth out of her womb. So I'm reading this and I'm going, okay, that's pretty interesting. God, you got my attention. And then he said, "When I made the cloud the what?
The garment,
thereof and thick darkness a what? Swaddling band for it. You know he's talking about the earth. You know what God was saying here? He said clouds are the swaddling garments or the swaddling clothes of the earth. Clouds are. So when Mary took Jesus and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, she was showing the sign of his coming. He is clothed with the cloud. Here's the sign. He's coming in the clouds. Somebody say amen. Not just, I'm telling you, the hair is sticking up on the back of my neck. Just thinking about the miracle of this Bible right here. It's a miracle. Amen. I hope you get excited at some point. Somehow, some way about this. Now I'm going to show this. I'm going to show you how this works. Okay? I want to show you what these clouds are. Because the Bible not only tell you that He's coming in the clouds, the Bible will define for you what the clouds are. Okay? It's going to define it for us. Now I'm going to need some help. I need some volunteers. And I went to sleep last night picking you guys out in my mind already. Come here, Jim. Come here. Yeah, you can if you want. I want you to stand right here. Jeff, come up here. I had you in my mind yesterday. Okay? Yeah, Lori's saying, fix this. Okay?
That look good.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care if you look good. Amen? Come here, Brady. Come here, Wayne. You can stand right here. Okay? Here, Wayne. Wayne, you just kind of stand right here. Okay? Come here. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Jeff, do you believe that this is the Word of God?
I do.
Every word of it. Are there any mistakes in it?
No.
Not a one, huh? If it says it, that's the way it is, right? Brady, you believe that this is the Word of God?
Absolutely.
No mistakes in it whatsoever. Don't need to change anything. Don't need to add a letter.
Nope.
Don't need that. Jim, what say you? It's the Word of God. Amen? This is our Lord, Jesus Christ, right here. He is the Word of God. Is that what you believe?
Yes.
Wayne,
yes.
You consent with that?
Amen.
Okay. What do you think I think?
I think you think this is the Word of God.
I think this is the Word of God right here. And we all agree.
Amen.
And we'll tell you that this is the Word of God. It has no mistakes in it. It is the incorruptible seed. It is Jesus right here in the beginning. Say it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that didn't hurt you guys, did it?
Not a bit,
huh? And some of you look nice, and some of you... It doesn't matter. Amen? Now, I want to show you something. You guys stand right here for a minute. The rest of you, take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You're there already, ain't you? You're getting happy? You listen, you're fixing to see a Jehovah's Witness shout. Amen. You know what? I don't mind calling him a Jehovah's Witness because he knows who Jehovah is now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And he'll be, watch this. He is a witness of Jehovah. The real one.
Amen.
The real one. Okay? So watch this. Hebrews chapter 12, are you there? Say amen. Wherefore, now, Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Faith Hall of Fame. It goes through and it details all these men in the Bible and these women in the Bible that believed God. They just believed God. Amen. They believed what God said. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God right here. Okay? So he's detailing all their lives and how they followed God by faith, and it wasn't by works, this, that, and the other. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a what? cloud of what? Witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the what? The author who writes books.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith. Here is your faith right here. Jesus wrote it, and this is Him. And even if my Bible falls apart, the Word of God will not. Amen? So watch this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So let me ask you guys this. Have you ever been persecuted or mocked because you said, you know what, I just believe the King James Bible? Has that ever happened to you? You know what? Despise the shame. And look unto Jesus. Amen. Just look for the glory that is coming to you because you have taken a stand for Jesus Christ in this world. Amen.
Amen.
And you listen, it don't bother you in a bit instead of you saying, well, happy holidays. You don't say happy holidays. You say what?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Amen. Jesus came. Amen. He's coming again. So watch this now. Here is Jesus right here. And some people have a hang up with that.
Yeah.
Oh, that you're an idol worshiper. No, I'm not. I'm worshiping what God gave me. This is the object of my faith right here. Is this Bible. And He is now compassed about with a cloud of witnesses who all of these men will testify and agree that this is the Word of God and in here is the light of men's salvation. If any man wants to be saved, it'll be done according to the light shined by this book. Is that what you believe? Say amen. So could we not say that Bethel Church is a cloud of witnesses testifying of the faith of Jesus Christ in this book? Let me hear you say amen. Okay, so we are, listen to this now, when it says when He comes in the clouds, take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You guys sit down. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hurry. I'm fixing to get into the message. That's why I want you to hurry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, I'm going to give you two witnesses. Number one, He is compassionate. Jesus does not just stand alone when we stand with Him. Amen? He does not stand alone when we stand with Him. If Jesus came to preach blood atonement, then we preach the blood atonement. If Jesus came to preach that grace was free, then we preach that grace is free. If we preach that the gift of God, that grace is a gift of God, it's not by works, then that's what we preach. It's that gift of God and not of works. If we preach that a man is born, if Jesus preached that a man is born again by incorruptible seed, then we preach that man is born again by incorruptible seed. Somebody say amen. And if Jesus said, I'm coming back, then we stand with Him and say, He's coming back. Amen. Listen, you know why I'm preaching this today? Because when we dismiss out of here, you're going to go where families are, and families are lost. And instead of you talking about football, talking about this, and that, why don't we just be a witness? Why don't we be the cloud that Jesus is clothed with of the witness and testimony of what this day really is supposed to be about? I'm going to tell you something, and I love them. I love them. There are people out there that just, they kind of had a little hang up with Christmas and December 25th and all that stuff, and I love them. I'm not saying anything against them. But I want to tell you, and they say, well, it's paganism, this, and that, and there. And I want to tell you something, if you don't keep Christ on this day, you are a pagan. There's something wrong with you. You're messed up. And I'm not saying you got to get in their face and shouting it at them like I'm shouting it at you. You guys can handle it. Amen. They can't handle it very well. But I am telling you that if we're going to say as Christians that we set this day apart to worship and celebrate Jesus, then don't be caught dead not doing it. You honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if it hurts you to honor it on today, then what does that say for you about tomorrow? Amen. He's clothed with the cloud. He's going to come in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what does it say in verse 16? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's why every now and then, it doesn't hurt you to kind of practice every now and then. Amen? Amen! Lord, come to heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them where?
In the clouds.
In the clouds to meet who? The Virgin Mary? No. To meet the Lord in the air. Where? In the clouds. He's coming, watch this now, with those who have risen first, the dead in Christ. And that is, by the way, everybody that's delineated in Hebrews chapter 11. How many believe that we're going to see Abraham there? Say amen. How many believe we're going to see Moses there? Say amen. How many believe we're going to see Elijah there? Say amen. And all those Old Testament saints, we're going to meet them where? In the clouds. He already has, watch this now, he already has the Old Testament saints testifying and witnessing of him. Amen. Now he has the New Testament saints witnessing and testifying of him. Amen. I'm so happy I'm sweating. You say, wait, I want you to pictorialize this. Now I want you to, we're going to use our imaginations just a little bit. We're going to use biblical stories here so you can see how this works. Because everybody in this room has lost people that they love and they want them to be saved. Raise your hand.
Amen.
You don't want to see them burn in hell, do you?
No.
You don't see them, you do not want to see them screaming in agony in the flames and pits of hell, do you? They need to be saved. How are they going to be saved? Jesus needs to come to them, and Jesus is going to come to them in the clouds. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I like this. I'm not just up here dancing around just for weight loss because I'm fixing to put on some pounds after church. I'm not up here putting on a show. And when I wipe my head, somebody please tell me if I have a little bit of Kleenex residue stuck here on my head. Yeah, I don't trust Jim. Okay? I don't mess around with Jim either. Amen? So I want you to think about now what this is. Here is Jesus. And the clouds of His coming are those who will testify of Him. Not testify of the church. Not testify of the Virgin Mary. Not testify of Santa Claus. Not testify of political candidates. But those who will testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to get this, because if people are going to be saved, Jesus has to come to them, and when He comes to them, He will be clothed with those, He will have with Him the clouds of witnesses about Him. This is why, and I know it's hard to witness to people, I know it's hard, especially people that you're close to, especially people in your own family, I know how hard that is. You don't have to preach to them, you don't have to shout it out to them, you don't have to, you just give them Scripture and testify that Jesus Christ came to die for them, they can be saved. Amen?
Amen?
We're not trying to get them to change political parties. Amen? We're not trying, and by the way, in getting people saved, we're not trying to get them to change anything. Because you didn't either. But when you got saved, God started changing some things. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not trying to get them to come to our philosophies. We're not trying to get them to agree with us on everything. We're not trying to get them to jump political parties. We're not trying to get them to be pro this or anti this. We're trying to get them so that when they die, they go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. So we're testifying of Jesus Christ and what He can do for them. Genesis chapter 9. God had already judged the world. He destroyed the earth with a flood. And at this point right here, God is making a covenant with mankind. You know what a covenant is? There's two of them. One's the old and one's the new. Amen? It's a promise that God makes it. Some say it's a contract or it's an agreement. But I'm telling you right here, it's a covenant because there's not anything that man does with this covenant that facilitates the covenant. There's, in other words, if I wanted to buy a car from Jim, I'd say, Jim, here's $1,500 and you give me the car. I'm going to give him $1,500 if he gives me the car and vice versa. But in this case here, I'm making a covenant. Jim, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to give you $1,500. What do you want? He's got his hand out already. You see how easy this is? Okay? Yeah, hey, watch this now. Because she testified of what happened. You know what happened? Jim started coming to this church. And we were a cloud of witnesses of Jesus Christ, and that the Bible's, hey, Jim, I put him up here. You know why? Because he believes the Bible.
Amen.
And you know what? When he came to this church, he didn't hear one group say, well, you know, Pastor Mike preached King James, but you know, I believe other translations. That is a false witness.
Amen.
And him coming in this church and hearing me say one thing and the congregation saying another, he would have never come to where he's come to today. See how important this is?
That's right. Amen.
You think we're just in here playing games? We're not. We're talking about a man's soul right here.
Yeah.
A man's soul. And so, watch this. He comes in here and he meets Jesus, and Jesus is clothed with the cloud of witnesses, and we're all saying the same thing.
Yes, amen.
That the Bible's the Word of God. He needs to be saved by grace through faith alone. He's not good enough to go to heaven, and he needs to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what saved him. But it wasn't his own works. And he stuck his hand out. Said, yeah, that's what it, you know what he did? I didn't go to him and say, now, Jim, yeah, really, I've been praying for you. You need to be saved. You know what happened? He came down to the altar and he came with his hand out.
Right. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's good! He stuck his hand out and said, I want that. So I would come to him and say, Jim, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to give you $1,500. What for? Nothing. I love you. And he's going, I don't believe you. Okay? You know what I would do then? I would gather together all the people that I've done the exact same thing for and say, let these people tell you, I do exactly what I say I do.
Yeah.
Watch this now. Watch this. Genesis chapter 9. Do you remember how God promised that He was not going to destroy the earth with water anymore? Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. God said this is the token. You know what a token is? It's a sign. Token of the covenant, which I make between me and you, of every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow. Guess who that is? I do set my bow where? Hey! Here's the bow. Here's the clouds. The bow this day is in the clouds. Amen? So that when you're having a rotten week and you come to church with tears in your eyes because it's Christmas and you miss your dad and you miss your loved ones and you're not having a good day, you come in here and it's raining and the storms of life are over you. You come in here with the cloud of witnesses and we have the bow set in the midst of us right here and God's promising you, you'll see Him again. Listen, shout!
Amen.
Get happy!
Amen.
Amen! Listen, if I was in a black church, they'd be preaching me out the door. Amen! Look at this. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Because I believe, listen, when God really saves you and you're really right with God, He's not going to destroy you no more. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You know why God saved you? You know why God made you a cloud of witness? Do you know why? Because there's people out there in your life that just need a little rainbow in their life. Somebody say amen. They need a little... Listen, the storms are already over their life. This is why your lost loved ones, when they gather together for Christmas, they don't talk about Jesus and the Nativity and the shepherds. You know what they do? They pour them some Seagram 7. They get them some Budweiser and they liquor it up on Christmas Day. You know why? They ain't got no hope. They got clouds over their life and storms, and all they've seen is death and destruction. They just need a little rainbow in their life. And the clouds there to show them the light. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, by the way, when you see the rainbow, you know the storm's over.
Amen.
Isn't that true? Whew. You guys are wearing me out. How about this? Listen to this one. Exodus chapter 13. How did God lead the Israelites in the promised land? Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. Hey, when they follow Jesus, they should be following us too.
Amen.
Amen. When they follow Jesus, they should be following us as well. Because we should be going where Jesus goes and pointing the way the same way that Jesus is pointing. Not two different directions. Somebody say amen. Man, I tell you what, I like that. In other words, your lost people, your lost loved ones, that we're a cloud of witnesses to light the path. Exodus chapter 16, verse 10. Exodus chapter 16, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, listen to this now, behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. You know why most lost people think church is a joke? Because for the most part it is. The preachers and the congregations have turned church into an entertainment center. They've turned it into a dance hall. They've turned it into the felt needs and all this. Turned it into a psychology deal. They've turned it into everything except what it was intended to be. And we are the church, which means we are the cloud of witnesses. And I will tell you what, lost people are looking to come in to see where the glory of God is.
That's right.
They should not have to ask if God's in this church. Should never have to ask. The glory of the Lord should be seen in the cloud. What was that glory doing on that day in Exodus chapter 16? And when the dew was at verse 14, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." You see, because if we're going to testify of Jesus, we're going to testify that He's come to feed us by giving us His living Word. By giving us, and so we don't have a bunch of programs in this church that are designed to hook people in to get them to come into our church. We don't have a bunch of that. I'm poor. God made me poor on programs. I sat in my office for 3 days fasting and praying, trying to come up with programs that would build this church. And you know what? God put every one of them down as soon as I thought of them. I'm going, that's the stupidest thing I've ever thought of in my life. We don't have programs to lure people in. We don't have this and that and the other. You know what we want? We want the Word. We want the glory of God to be seen in this church. Not wildfire. Amen? But the real glory of God to be seen in this church. And we want people to know if they come here, they'll get fed.
Amen.
They'll have plenty to eat if they walk inside this church. Amen. That's our program right there. Somebody say amen. By the way, He's come to give the gift of faith. Exodus chapter 19, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud. Watch this, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." I pointed out Jim a while ago, how would it be like if he heard from the preacher that I just believe the Bible and he heard from the congregation? Well, I think 1 Thessalonians 4, I think it should be different. He's going to sit here and think that he has to believe me instead of this. If you're going to lead people to Christ, lead them to believing the Bible. Amen? Lead them to believing the Bible. That's what we're testifying of. Exodus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. Let me read it. The Lord said unto Moses, "Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark." You know what the mercy seat was? It was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the throne of God, the visible throne of God. It was in the most holy place in the tabernacle. And when God showed up on the scene, He was going to sit on the mercy seat to show that He reigned over Israel.
Amen.
Now watch this. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.
Amen.
You know what's better to tell your lost loved ones other than now that you're saved, you live right? You know what's better to tell them? It's better to tell your lost loved ones that now that you're saved, you know that God has had mercy on you because you don't live right.
Amen.
The cloud comes on the mercy seat. That's where God is going to be. And that cloud are those who testify, not the fact that now that we're part of this church, we do what God says. Because we're honest here, aren't we?
Amen.
We don't do what God says. Not all the time. And the rule still applies. If you offend the law in one point, even after you're saved, you're still guilty of the whole thing. So instead of us trying to be better than everyone else around us, why don't we just testify of the God who had mercy on us and forgave us? This is not in my notes. Can I show you the best way in the world to show forth the mercy of God? I'll show you the very, very best way in the world to show forth the mercy of God. Jim, I forgive you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Sterling, will you forgive me? Lisa, will you forgive me? I love you. I am now a cloud of the witness.
Right.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. If you can forgive your wife, if you can forgive your children, if you can forgive your husband, if you can forgive your next door neighbor, if you can forgive those who you claim are your enemies, if you can forgive them, you're a cloud of the witness of the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to that. If you can forgive people that hate your guts and still to this day hate your guts, and you can forgive them even without them, I'll forgive them if they apologize. You know what you're doing? You're hoping down deep inside your guts they never apologize.
Right.
Yeah.
Forgive them anyway. And I believe in repentance. But when Jesus was on the cross, all He said was, "Father, forgive them if they repent." That's not what He said. "Father, forgive them." And I'll testify to the fact that God has forgiven me of many, many, many things that I never confessed. And I'm thankful for that. The cloud shows us the favor of God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15, "And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain." Did you know that the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust? I believe in as a church that we ought to give benevolence to God's people who have needs inside the church. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Did you know that it's okay, in fact it's biblical, to bless people outside of this church who we know for a fact are never going to darken the door of this church? Did you know that it's okay to do that?
Yes.
It's okay. It's right. Because God has favor on people that are never going to worship Him a day in their life. God feeds them. God makes them wealthy. God gives them clothes on their back. God gives them happy marriages. How many of you know somebody that died lost and had a 60-year marriage? You know what that was? That was God's favor to them. And God gave it to them without even the benefit of them giving one thing back to God. If we're going to be a cloud of the witnesses of Jesus Christ, let's be nice to people who are not saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's be nice and give and things like that. Give. Show the favor of God as a cloud of the witness of Jesus Christ to those who are not saved and probably never will be saved. Somebody say amen. Turn your Bible to Zechariah chapter 10. This is my last deal right here. Zechariah chapter 10. As a cloud of witness of Jesus Christ, testament, people who testify of the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the favor of God, and the faith of God, and the glory of God, and the covenant of God. We also show forth the vanity of people and how they live their life. Not in a mean way, but just to show it to them. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen. "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright" what? "Clouds. And give them showers of rain, to everyone grass in the field." And I know that by and large we have kind of lost what that means, because I don't know too many farmers in this church. But back in the day, if it didn't rain, you didn't eat. If it didn't rain, you didn't live. And so when the summer days come along and the days got prolonged and they were hot and there was no rain, people started really worrying. Because if the crops didn't come in, they were gone for the wintertime. They knew it. And so you ask, "And the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." Verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity. You know what people are doing right now? They're trying everything but Jesus. They're trying everything. And you did too? Okay? Before you got saved, you avoided it like the plague. Amen, Lori? Honey, let's go to church. Nah. I'm all right. I'm good. I don't need that church. This is what people say. Right? They'll try everything in the world but God's way. So they'll try other gods. The diviners have seen the lie. They'll call the psychic hotline, read the horoscope. They'll get into all kinds of weird, goofy stuff. Looking for answers. You know what they're doing? They're looking for answers. You know what they're really looking for? They're really looking for eternal life after death because they know they're going to die. And they're looking to see if any other thing in this world has an answer to it. And have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock and they were troubled because there was no shepherd. But then God had mercy on them. God had favor on them. God had kindness and compassion on them. And you know what God did? God just kind of sent the clouds in. And the clouds were all these redneck, Hoosier, mossy oak wearing, deer hunting, fishing, bass fishing, garden planting, truck owning, pistol toting, amen, booger head rednecks that said ain't. Amen. And said all kinds of things that we probably shouldn't say, not in the King's English. Amen. God said a bunch of old, not the best people of the world, not the best looking people of the world, not the Hollywood crowd, not the sports figures. God sent us to their life with a little Bible. Maybe not so much in our hand, but it was in our heart. You know what impresses a lost person? Not the fact that you got the biggest Bible showing in on the set. Hey, look at me. I'm here to tell you about God. You know what impresses a lost man? When they know that it's in your heart. They know it. Because they see you living it. And they see you talking about it. And you're not just preaching down your nose at everybody. You're being a blessing to them. And you're showing them by your example, by your testimony, that really how they're living, it doesn't work. And you know this because you tried it. Brady can go to the people of his background and say, I've been there. They may not listen to him because they have been inoculated against what he's going to tell them.
Right.
And I want to tell you something, the miracle of this man getting saved.
Amen.
I'm not over it yet, Brady.
Amen.
I'm not over it yet.
Yeah.
The miracle of this man getting saved.
Amen.
Because I know how well inoculated he was against what was in this Bible.
Yeah.
And God broke through and sent clouds of witness. You know, the cloud that, listen, it was the witness of this church. All of us standing behind this Bible is why he's here right now.
Yes,
amen. And the same thing for you too. See, it works, doesn't it?
Amen.
But he go to people in his background. Jared can go to people in his background and say, look, I listen, I don't know it the way my preacher knows it. I don't even know it the way, really, I don't think I'm supposed, but I just know that God saved my soul. And I tried alcohol, and I tried this, and I tried that, and it wasn't in there. And I come to Jesus just on my knees and on my face, and I said, God, have mercy on me. God had mercy. I don't know why God had mercy on me, but He did. And I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to get you into church. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to wrangle you into a political party. But what I'm telling you is, before you die, would you call upon the name of the Lord? That's all you got to do, people. God will take care of the mess after that. Amen.
Right.
You just be part of the clouds, the witnesses who will testify. It's all right here. It's in the Bible. Read it. Tell the truth. And where Jesus goes, see, it's kind of hard for you to go one way and your clothes go another.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, so far in my life, every place I've been, my clothes have gone with me. Amen. It's a good thing. Amen. We like them boys, the demons got them and chased them out naked. Amen. Amen. That's a good analogy, but anyway, we got to get done. Listen, I wanted to tell you, today we're supposed to be celebrating the coming of the Lord in the clouds. We're supposed to be the clouds. We're supposed to be the clouds. So go forth from here and send down some showers of blessings to some people today in your family. Because lest we be clouds with no water, the way the Bible talks about the false prophets, lest we be clouds with no water, without water, let's go forth and give some showers of blessing to some people. Is that too much to ask?
No.
I want you to bow your head. I just have a word of prayer. I want you right now, I want you to think about five people that you know today are lost. Think of five people that today, when we dismiss the service, that you'll be with today for Christmas. You think about them. And then you pray for them. And then you ask God, I want to be a witness. I want to be a testimony. And God, I need help. I need help. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for, oh God, what you showed me. Oh Lord, it's so good. And Lord, I'm humbled, dear God, that you would ask me, God. Lord, I'm just so not worthy. But Lord, I'll go with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. And Lord, wherever you want to be present, Lord, if you want me to be there present with you, I'll be there. And Lord, when you're taking a stand, I'll take a stand. And God, I know some people, Lord, that are lost and need to be saved. They need things right with you. And help us, dear God, help us to be a testimony to them. We love them. We don't want to see them go to hell. We didn't want to go to hell. We don't want to see them go to hell. So God, Lord, would you help us to be a witness, be a cloud of testimony. Wherever you go, that's where we'll go. Give us this day and give us grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.